All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last will and testament. I hope everybody has a will. If you don't have a will, you ought to make one out. You never know when your last day is going to be here. I believe Paul's writing this, and it's his last will and testament. And never will forget one multimillionaire died and reading of his will. And his attorney said, you know, being of sound mind and body, he spent it all. And nobody else got anything. So Paul writes this to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we thank you for all that you blessed us with. It's just been such a blessing. And God, we thank you for the day, the sunshine that took that cold, biting air away, and Lord, gave us a beautiful warmth through this evening. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you do every single day that we just take for granted. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here we have Paul's, I believe, last will and testament. And weeks, days, maybe hours before his death, he's about to be martyred. There's no fear in his life. You can tell by just reading these passages of scriptures. There's no fear there. There's no anxiety in his life. I've been told, you know, by different ones that I've stood around and waited for them to pass on, as they were going to breathe their last breath, I've heard some say, you know, there's no fear, no regrets, no anxiety. But then there's those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and death to them was a frightening thing. I've heard, I'm going to die. I'm about to die. And they were scared to leave this world. But there's no anxiety, just anticipation in Paul's case. No regrets in his life as you read this passage of Scripture. No sorrows. Just justification and satisfaction in his life. And he reminds Timothy of two things. One, Timothy, Jesus is coming. You know, that's a great thing to be reminded of, isn't it? No matter what we face today, and our day is we're living in a day that there's just turmoil, seems like, everywhere. And it seems like the world is getting further and further away from God and all of these things. It reminds me that Jesus is coming, for he tells us in the last days this is where it's going to be, and then judgment is also coming. Now, I stand before God. I want to know that I was on his side. Amen? I want to know that I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And I want to know that I have eternal life. And the Bible says we can be assured of that. And in verse 1, Paul says, Timothy, I charge you. The king is coming. The king is coming. And in the light of his coming, I charge you. I want you to remember something. And then he says there's a charge to be faithful. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Be faithful, Timothy, to preach the word. Now, notice Timothy is not charged to heal the sick. He's not charged to raise the dead. He's not charged to pat his own self on the back. He's not charged to build greater buildings. He's not charged to speak in tongues or any of these things. Timothy is simply told, preach the word. And he says that preach it confidentially. You see, the word for preach means to proclaim out loud. Proclaim the word of God out loud. Share with the people. Now is the time to preach the word. Now is the time that the word needs to make sense to our hearts. So Timothy, preach it with confidence in your life. Don't be wishy-washy about it. You know what it says. Preach the word, Timothy. The word would be that of a man, that a man would hear. And he says, proclaim it as a message of the King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the way we need to preach it, with confidence in our life, that this word that we tell people about, this gospel that we tell people about, is the gospel with the power unto salvation, that if you listen to it and you turn your heart to it, it will save you. And it will keep you from everything else in the world. When I stand up and preach the word every Sunday, if you have a complaint about the way I preach, don't take it to me. Take it up with the Lord. You see, notice what we are to preach. And I don't preach theories. One of our ladies, and she's here tonight, asked me the other night. We were just talking, and I know where she's coming from because she came from up north, and some of these people up north do things differently down here. But she said, what about the gap theory? Have you ever preached a sermon on the gap theory? And I said, no, that's a theory. And she said, that's what I wanted you to hear. I wanted to hear that. You know, I don't preach theories. I don't preach philosophy. I preach what the Word says. And if the Word don't say it, I didn't figure God wanted me to know about it, so I just don't preach on it. You see, if you just want to preach something, you can preach anything. But if you're not preaching the Word, it makes no sense. And that's what Paul says, preach the Word. And then he goes on and says, preach it continuously. Be ready, he says, in season and out of season. That is a military term, which means stay at your post, Timothy. Don't back away from it. Stick to the word. Preach it. Be ready when it's popular. The word today is not very popular. I don't know where I heard this, but I think I heard it this morning somewhere when you mentioned, we may have talked about it in Sunday school class. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since this morning. But you can mention God anywhere, but don't mention Jesus. Did you talk about that this morning? Okay. Brother Perry mentioned that this morning. You talk about Jesus today and you get in trouble. Well, you know, stick to it. Keep preaching Jesus. Whether people want you to or not, tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. When it's not popular, preach it. When it is popular, preach it. Preach it with confidence. Preach it that it will convict people. It is our job to preach the message of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and make it available to everyone. And then preach with to convict. It's the same word. In John 16:8, when he says, when he is come, he will convict the world of sin. Preach it. It'll convict people of righteousness. It'll convict people of just judgment. You see, literally, it says reprove. Man, to confront a person with the fact that, you know, what you're doing is living in sin. Now, people don't like to hear that. Not too long ago, Brother Bill and I was out knocking on doors, and this young man had visited our church, and Brother Bill's a witness to this. And he come to the door, and we kindly, graciously said something about, you know, we noticed you was here Sunday at our church, and we'd like to visit with you. Well, we asked him about, you know, him and his wife, and he said, no, that's not my wife, that's my girlfriend. We live together. And I said, you know that's adultery, or you're living in adultery. He didn't want to hear that. He said, well, you know, we're looking for a church, but we want a church that you won't judge us. I said, well, you don't want our church then, because the Bible says that it's adultery. And God's word doesn't change, just you'll feel comfortable. And see, I don't understand that. He never came back. I don't understand why, but he never came back. You see, someone told Billy Sunday when he was preaching, he said, you know, you rub me the wrong way with your messages. And his reply was, well, when you quit turning your life, when you quit going towards hell and turn your life around and start going towards heaven, I'll be rubbing you the right way. Now, folks, people don't like to hear that. But you know what? If you preach the word, you're going to preach that. You're going to upset some people. I was thinking about this day. I was walking from one place to the other, and I was just thinking about the message, and I was thinking about the people that get upset when they hear the word. And I thought, you know, they didn't like Jesus' preaching either. And Paul certainly didn't have too many friends. He had some. But I look at the word and I see he made a lot of enemies too. They didn't like him when he stood up and preached the word. And so many people don't want to hear what the word says. They don't want me or anyone else to step on their toes. Our goal is to preach the whole counsel of the word of God, that God might be magnified, the Son might be glorified, and the Spirit might be satisfied with the way we preach the word. And we give all the glory to God. Preach the word, he says, Timothy. Preach it with confidence. Preach the word with boldness. Preach it that it will convict the world of sin. And then he says, preach it courageously. To rebuke. Boy, that means that you're not the only to confront a person with a fact of sin. You tell them just how bad sin is. You see, I like to listen to old messages of old preachers and, you know, read those messages. And I have several messages of Dr. R.G. Lee, Payday Someday. Everybody kind of knows that one. He said in one of his messages, some people call me narrow, harsh, and cruel. But he says, is it cruel to tell a man the truth? As being narrow, I have no desire to be broader than Jesus. As to be cruel, is it cruel to tell the truth and point someone to heaven and out of hell? Is it cruel to let a man burn up in a house on fire or wake him up? We're not only to confront the afflicted, he says, we're called to afflict the comforted. And when you leave here, I'll either have made you mad or glad, but never the same as you walk in. That was his words. You see, people never leave the same when they're confronted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, if a preacher is preaching to people and your preaching never makes them mad, or what you have preached never teaches them about sin, either they haven't heard you or you haven't really been preaching. Our call, he says, is to rebuke. It's to make a sinful world straighten up. And we're to preach to build up God's kingdom. And then Paul says, not only preach the word, be ready, rebuke, exhort. He says, with all long-suffering, preach constructively. Exhort. I had a good preacher. It really means to encourage. He always tells me, he said, I've got the gift of encouragement. And I said, no, you don't. He said, why do I not have the gift of encouragement? I said, because you never encourage me. You know, we're to encourage people. We're to edify, to build up, strengthen. And Paul says three things here. We're to preach so the doubtful will be convinced, the sinful will be converted, and the fearful will be confirmed. You see? And then he says, preach compassionately. Man, Timothy, I charge you with all these things without long suffering and teaching. Someone has said, Rome wasn't built in a day. And we may not be immediately see immediate results, but we are confident that this one thing, if God's word is preached, the Bible says it will not return void. Folks, I never will forget. I've knocked on so many doors, it's not even funny. And I wonder sometimes, Lord, am I getting anywhere with knocking on doors? Well, I've been told through the years that a lot of those doors that I knocked on as a youth director or whatever, I don't know if you ever direct youth. They just go. But you know, I've been told that many of them now are going to church and are coming to church. And you know, that's a blessing. But you've got to preach the word and be compassionate with it over and over and over. Someone asked me the other day, it wasn't too long ago. Everything's the other day to me, or last week, or, you know. But someone said, when did you ever get tired of preaching, and not seeing anybody come to the front? I said, no, every time I preach, I believe with all my heart, somebody makes a decision. You see? They're confronted with the word. And I'm not in the job of doing the moving and adding to the church. That's God's business. All I'm to do is to preach the word and preach it with long suffering and teaching, you see. God's word. One day, if you keep on preaching, if you keep on going, I went to one young man's house and knocked on his door. I knocked on his door so many times, it just made him so mad he had to come to church. Don't give up. Just keep on going. And then the choice to be doubtful, verses 3 and 4. The time, it says, will come when sound doctrine is not preached. Now, I believe we're living in the time right now that sound doctrine is not being preached. Why? Paul says, they will not endure sound doctrine. That word sound doctrine means they will not be healthy. They will not be healthy in what they believe. Now, the Bible is meant to make you, I believe, holy, healthy, and happy. And folks, if you live by the Bible, you will be holy, healthy, and happy. But God says there's a time coming when the people will not endure sound doctrine. And God says, don't do this. It will hurt you. Did your parents ever tell you not to do something because it's for your own good? Mine did. You know, don't stick your finger in the light socket. You know, it's not going to help your feelings one bit. But, you know, kids are just bound to do that every once in a while. Or stick something in there. You know, I'm scared of electricity this day because I took we don't have them today, ice pick, and stuck it in that thing. Boy, did it ever make sparks. My hair used to be curly. Now it's straight as a board. Stood straight up. You know, they tell you not to do something because why? They love you. And God says, don't you do this. It won't help you one bit. And people go ahead and do it because they don't endure the sound doctrine. You know, they want to, you know, it says have itching ears. People like you to just spray some perfume over their stink. And that's all they want. Just cover up their smell a little bit. You know, that's not good enough for God. Paul says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. You know, selfish desires are exalted. Itching ears, he says. Church members have that itchy ear syndrome. Man, you can talk about everything, but not my sin. More are concerned today with when we're going to get out a length of the message than they are the content of the message. You know, I used to get a little bit aggravated because we had people to get up and head out of here to make it to Sunday dinner and miss the best part of the message. And, you know, I thought, you know, they're just shallow people. God will deal with them. God will help them one of these days. Self-delusion is experienced. They will turn away from the truth. Well, I'll tell you what. I have had someone come in my office not many months ago and said, you know, people don't want to hear about sin. The church he was at said, you know, there's no such thing as sin. And they don't want to talk about hell anymore. And they won't allow me to preach on sin. They don't allow me to preach on hell. What do I do? I said, first thing you need to do is get your life right and find you another church. You see, people today in our town will not endure sound doctrine, or they're not enduring sound doctrine. There is a hell, and there is such thing as sin in our lives, but we want to close our eyes to those things, you see? And some people can't see the truth because they won't open their eyes to see it. And people turn away from truth, the Bible says, and believe their itching ears are... You know, I've never understood how people cannot believe in creation and believe in evolution. But they don't endure sound doctrine. And listen, when a man will not believe God and will not believe the Bible says God sent them strong delusion over them and they believed a lie. And that's what we have today in America. They're believing a lie. It doesn't take a genius to look at the way our televisions, I don't know if you watch TV or not, but ABC, NBC, and CBS, they just preach lies. That's all you can say about it. And you can call them and tell them, I said, they just preach lies. They tell you the ungodly things are all right. They show the ungodly shows. Don't look at them. Turn them off. Do something. You know, they're... God has sent that strong delusion in America today. And I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit of God has moved out of our country and is moving to other countries. You see, back then it moved from, Paul moved it from there over to Asia and it went to Europe and it came to America. And God blessed America in so many ways with so much that we've turned it away. Somebody says, why aren't there any revivals in America today? Well, the Holy Spirit has to be in charge of the revival in our heart. And we don't have that. Oh, there may be a little pocket here and a little pocket there, but most people do not want to stay with God long enough to let Him move in their lives. Listen, when a man will not believe God in the Bible, he'll believe anything. He says, be watchful. Things will get worse. Oh, Brother Perry said the sign down there at the Eustace Assembly of God or whatever that church was said, God said it would get dark. And folks, it is getting dark when men are living together and getting married, and women are living together and getting married to each other, and their child can pick out what sex he wants to be. Boy, I tell you what, America's getting dark. And things will get worse and worse before the Lord comes back. Until then, he says, be alert. Be watchful. That means sober. Don't you drink from the well of carnality. Keep your eyes open, your ears open, on the watch, look out, be adaptable, endure afflictions. You might as well understand, when you stand for Jesus, folks, you're going to endure some afflictions. And Paul says this to Timothy, Timothy, I know you're going to endure some afflictions. Why? Because he had. Brother Vance Havner used to say a preacher should have the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. Boy, you got to be tough today, don't you? Be aggressive, Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. Get out there, Timothy. Don't give up. Don't quit. Knock on doors. Win souls. Be a soul winner. Be accountable. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, run the race. If I leave you anything in life, run the race. Finish your work that God has given you. Anchor to the solid rock. Preach it, believe it, share it, defend it, and obey it. Folks, that's the last will and testament. Not only of Paul, but it should be your testament and mine. God has charged us to do these things. And we will be held accountable for what we do with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. As we ponder your words, Lord, let them touch our hearts this week. And let us go our way and share the word of God with someone, Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. Boy, preach the word. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.